may have noticed in your worship bulletin that to the right of the scripture lesson for today, where it says Philippians 2, 1 through 13, you see the three little letters G in V inside brackets. Those of you who've been in Bible study know what that means. That means that I searched and searched scriptures looking for a translation that I liked for this passage, and since I couldn't find a translation I liked, I made my own. That's the Greg Neal version. Is there any encouragement in Christ? Any consolation of love? Any sharing in the Spirit? Any compassion? Any sympathy? Complete my joy. Now, the reading here is difficult because the sequence of words and their order and structure lend themselves to many different translations. I think that that's close to being right, except instead of a colon, and I've changed my mind since I had this printed, that shows how fast my mind changes, I've decided to put a by there. So take out the colon and write in by, B-Y. Complete my joy by being of the same mind. Well, right there we've got a problem. Because I've pastored churches now for 19 years. And I must honestly say to you that I have never met a church that can be about the same mind about everything. Sorry, it just doesn't happen. However, we are called to be of the same mind. Now, what same mind? We'll find out in a minute. By having the same love. Now, likewise, even though I've never yet pastored a church where everybody thought alike, I have pastored churches, including this one, where we have been able to love alike. That's good news, friends. Being of the same love, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. We're back to the kind of hard part there. Whose accord and whose mind? Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility. I don't like that word. Most people find that word kind of uncomfortable, and I do too at times. But in humility, regard others as better than yourselves. Consider the needs of others ahead of your own. Have concern for your neighbor, be it the neighbor seated next to you, Wanda, or someone outside those doors or windows. Be of the same mind, be in one accord. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves, as being of greater need than yourself. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests, to the needs, to the concerns, to the cares of others. This sounds like the call to be a church reaching out and helping each other, and not just those inside the walls of the church, but helping all people, all of God's children, everywhere. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Now there's the mind we're supposed to have. Right there. The same mind that was also in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be clung to, but emptied himself into the mold of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, right back there is where my greatest problem with most translations lie. Where it says, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be clung to, but emptied himself. If you look in the NRSV, it reads slightly differently, and it's a subtle difference. Verse 7, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. Most translations lead one to think that the emptying here meant that Jesus took something out of himself, set it aside, and then became human. Hence you get what is known as kenotic theology, kenosis theology, because the word in Greek for empty is kenosis. It is the belief that Jesus emptied himself of some attribute or nature. Many theologians over the last 100 years have said Jesus emptied himself of divinity, emptied himself of being God and became human. Other theologians have said that Jesus emptied himself of the glory of God so that he could be seen and experienced as a human being. Some have said, and this is the longest term understanding, some have said that Jesus emptied himself of the position, the status, the office, if you will, of Godhead. And instead of being recognized as God continually, set that aside and became human. I prefer a different rendering here. The idea, instead of emptying out something out of himself to become something different, I prefer the idea, which is fully acceptable in the original language, of Jesus emptying himself into something else. And hence my translation reads, but emptied himself into the mold of a slave, into the mold of a servant, into the mold or structure of a servant, of the least in the social order of his day. Now, when God comes to be with us, you would expect that God would be a king, a ruler, a prince, a princess. You would expect that God would be a general, or a president, or a senator, or some really high muckety-muck in government, don't you? I mean, if God's going to come, God's going to be big, rich, powerful, good-looking, right? Not according to this. To put it into modern language, in modern cultural setting, and modern social structure, Jesus emptied himself into the form, into the mold of an illegal alien. Wow. Or into the form of a peasant in a third world country. Into the form or into the mold of the least of our society. And in the story of the incarnation, was born a baby. God's going to come. God's going to come as an adult. Not as a little baby. Not as a sweet darling baby like Grace over here, but as a big, powerful military general or powerful, influential member of the society. Not as an infant, weak and physically and visibly powerless, but strong, right? Not according to this, not according to Paul, not according to the proclamation of the church. Jesus came to be one of us, and he came as the simplest and lowest level of humanity. He came as an infant in the mold of a servant, but he didn't stop there. Being born in human likeness and being found in human form or mold, he humbled himself further and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. I mean, if God's going to come, God's going to be in charge. God's going to be a military, mighty figure. God's going to be a royal figure. God's going to be a figure of priestly justice and power and He's going to be a judge. God's not going to be a little baby child of a carpenter, lowest level of the society, who then dies. Yep. According to the gospel, according to Paul, according to the New Testament, that's exactly what God did. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, because Jesus did this, because Jesus came to live among us as the last, the least, and the lost, a child, an infant, the son of a carpenter's family, the least in their society, and humbled himself to the point of death, and died the worst, cruelest, most awful criminal death of the ancient world, crucified as a criminal, as a political criminal, and as a religious criminal. Even though he came and he died, God highly exalted him, raised him from the dead, raised him to glory, so that all of creation can affirm the glory of God, the love of God, and the presence of God. And because of that, we are called. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, this calls you to work out your salvation, your way of life together with God, your way of living in the holy presence of God, the way of holy humility. Work out your salvation, your life with your sister and your brother, your life with God. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's a little strange word, isn't it? With fear and trembling? The Greek words don't make it any easier. They're phobu and traumu. Phobias and traumas. Work out your salvation with phobias and traumas? Ugh. I don't like this. What's he mean? The relationship we are called to live with God, the relationship we are called to live in the family of faith, towards our sisters and brothers in the faith, towards those who are outside the family of faith, the life we are called to live is a serious one that is governed by the mind of Christ and the willingness to take the lowest position in humility. Rather than arguing and fighting about who gets precedence at general and jurisdictional conferences and who gets elected bishop and who gets to serve in what church and who gets to serve in what position in that church, instead of having arguments and fights over all these kinds of issues, we are called to have a humble mind, the mind of Christ, recognizing that as Christ gave himself for this world, taking the lowest position in his society, so also we are to have the mind of Christ in us, taking the lowest position to serve others. There's an implication here. Just as Jesus emptied himself into the mold of a servant, the mold of a slave, so also we are called to be a mold for Jesus to empty himself into us, for God to empty God's self into us, so that we might become servants for others. The world says God's going to come as a king. We know better. God comes as a servant, and God wants to use us as molds in which to pour the mighty presence of the divine, the holy humility of God, so that we might serve our sisters and brothers. My friends, having heard this proclamation, having heard the seriousness, the, the phobias and traumas of the reality of this relationship and its seriousness, how can we do anything but open ourselves to the pouring out and the pouring in of God's very presence into our lives? I mean, it's the end of September. Christmas is coming in a couple of months. One of my favorite Christmas hymns was written by Charles Wesley, in which it says, "Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity." Veiled in flesh the Godhead see? Veiled in whose flesh? In the flesh of the Jesus of Nazareth? In the flesh of the church today? In your flesh? In my flesh? We are called to be a mold for the real presence of God poured out into this world. Just as God emptied himself into Jesus of Nazareth, let us allow, be open to, be present for God, so that God can empty God's holy humility into each of us.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2008 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.